Enoch, you say? Enoch. There are only 12 verses in the whole Bible that mention Enoch. 3 of them are in the New Testament. So since this is a story of an Old Testament hero, that means there are 9 in the verses that may pertain to him. Now actually, 2 refer to Enoch, a different Enoch, Enoch the son of Cain, who's not the same Enoch. So now we're down to 7 verses. And then one of the verses is in 1 Chronicles and actually tells of the lineage of David. So now we're actually down to 6 verses that talk about Enoch. 6 verses. For a character that has many stories and many followings amongst Christians across the earth, there are only 6 verses in our Bible about this person. And so much is made of Enoch based upon one verse. One verse is where the strength of Enoch lies. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. Scholars have pined over this verse for many, many centuries. Many think that because of this wording that Enoch actually did not die. That Enoch was actually summoned to heaven like Elijah. This idea is so prevalent that there are actually multiple extra scriptural verses and books actually written about Enoch based upon this one verse. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church actually has an entire book called First Enoch that takes this idea and extrapolates it out into a whole document that they hold holy in their scriptures. It talks about Enoch being summoned up to heaven as a right and honorable person to serve with God and actually become the voice of God in the world. That whenever God was speaking through an angel, God was actually speaking through Enoch. Now, what's fascinating to me is that we hold Enoch so dear, that there are even modern theologians, modern evangelical theologians, that hold that Enoch was actually one of the 2 witnesses in the book of Revelation. And yet, we have no concrete evidence that that is true. So Enoch has grown beyond just that one verse. There's nothing imminent today, but make no mistake about it. That the legend of Enoch is bigger than the verses regarding him in the Bible. He appeared on Fox News Sunday. Are you tired of the heat? Ready for winter? Well, be careful what you wish for, depending on where you live. Enoch's importance may actually come more in how we, as followers of Christ and people in the tradition of this document, the Bible, start to look at as we think about other documents that have come out. The book of First Enoch that the Ethiopian Christians hold dear actually predates, in a written form, our own Old Testament scriptures. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a The Old Testament scriptures that we have, that we hold dear, were not actually written down and codified in a written form until the Middle Ages. They're actually not in a full written form until after the New Testament was in a written form. What does that say about what we have held dear in a historical sense? How much of the stories that we follow and listen to and hold dear were, for the length and the majority of their time, oral history? Stories passed from one priest to another, passed from one family to another, carried from generation to generation on their hearts and in their souls to be shared with the next generation. As modern-day Christians, we would argue that oral tradition is not as strong as written tradition. But is that true? Is that true? What makes what we have in our Bible more or less true than other documents that people hold dear? With its global operations chief resigning and a major investor suing the ride-hailing company's former CEO. Why do the stories that we lay out in our Bible more true than the Ethiopian Orthodox book of First Enoch? And here I will muddy the waters a little bit more. The letter of Jude, which is in our Bible, actually mentions Enoch and mentions verses about Enoch that are not in our Bible. It refers to verses of Enoch that are in the first book of Enoch. Here we have evidence within our own Bible of New Testament writers referring to books that we do not have within the canon of our Bible. Does that make the statements of Jude untrue? Does that make the story that Jude is telling and the verses that he is scribing not the truth of God and Enoch? The beauty of Enoch, the beauty of this story, is that we are called to see and understand God's movement in the world as bigger than just the tradition that we find ourselves. Then when we start to open up and hear the stories of ancient Christians across the globe who have shared in our traditions, shared in our love of Christ and the Holy Ones, and they have different stories, how does that make their stories less true than ours? As we consider the beauty of our faith, it is also important to understand that our faith is rooted in the tradition that we grew up in and doesn't make it necessarily better than the traditions that other people grew up in. I remember a certain African American pastor who spoke out after 9/11, who preached a sermon that was misinterpreted, was strong in its words, and heavily rooted in a tradition very different than mine. Jeremiah Wright spoke eloquently, preached a sermon based heavily in the African American tradition within our country, and spoke biblically. And yet there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people within our country who did not see that as part of the Christian tradition. He spoke from a Christian tradition. How do we acknowledge that the Christian tradition may be bigger than just what we follow in our buildings and in our Presbyterian tradition? There is a beauty in the world. There is a beauty of seeing God in others and hearing God in their stories. Are we listening to them? Are we hearing the voice of God in those different from us? Amen.